My name is Kundana Palagiri. I'm a program manager in the Azure Compute team. I have been in this team for 2 years, and I work on VM customization, application configuration, and management inside Azure VMs. And I've been at Microsoft for about 12 and a half years. And before becoming a PM, I was a dev and a tester as well. I'm going to be talking about VM customization using any of the existing ecosystem tools like Chef, Puppet, or first-party tools like DSC, or even writing scripts for doing VM customization. The one key takeaway would be Azure VM support a lot of options for VM customization. I've recently started road biking when the weather is good in Seattle, and I did my first flying wheels this summer, 45 miles, and it was fun.
And we're back on the live stream. If you are following us on channel 9 at msdn.com, this is Level Up Azure IaaS for IT Pros. And this is our third day if you're following the live stream. If this is something that you're watching on replay mode, this is one of a number of different subjects and topics that we're covering over the course of about a dozen or so different episodes. And this particular grouping, we're covering a lot of stuff around Linux, open source, and in this case, for this particular module, management technologies to manage and look after your Linux workloads and Linux distributions, and also Windows ones as well, with some technologies that you may or may not be familiar with. So I know that from the audience poll kind of thing that we're doing, from the questions that have been coming up on the last session, we have a kind of a group of people that are familiar and working with the Linux environment, and we also have a big bunch of people like myself who don't really work with the Linux environment but work with the Windows environment and are just kind of dipping the toes in for the very first time to understand how this all works. So this particular session is going to be really, really awesome. I'm going to be joined by Kundana in just a minute. She's standing here right next to me, talking about Chef and Puppet technologies and even some DSC stuff too, to be able to go off and to manage things. So first of all, welcome to the show and welcome to the episode, Kundana.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you very much for joining.
Very glad to be here.
And I'm just going to kind of get out of your way and let you go through the explanation of what we're going to be talking about for this concept of this Puppet and Chef and other management tool sets that we have.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm actually very excited to be talking about Linux workload management. The previous session gave an overview of how to set up Linux virtual machines. So in this talk, in this 1 hour, we are going to be talking about tools. Mm-hmm. What kind of tools can you use to manage your deployments and to manage your applications? So let's get started into that, right? So when you talk about, first of all, the big question is why? Why are these tools important, for infrastructure, managing infrastructure as a service platform? It might be very obvious, but if you are coming from a PaaS world, then, it's worth spending a couple of minutes to understand, why do we have to do this, and mm-hmm. what does Azure do to support this? So when you think about infrastructure as a service, you deploy your virtual machines, very soon they go into like very large scale, and this is a very heterogeneous mix of environments where there are different tiers, each tier is running a different set of applications, each of them need its own configuration, and over a period of time all the configuration evolves. Mm-hmm. When you put all of these things together, what happens is you have very complex infrastructure management which needs to be done, and doing that manually becomes very painful and very, very challenging. And that is where we have these tools that come into picture for managing the infrastructure. When it comes to tools for managing infrastructure, it's not like one tool fits all. Different kind of problems need different kinds of approaches. And in Azure, what we want to do is, we want to make it really easy, no matter what tool you are using. We want to make it very easy to like continue to use them in Azure. Mm-hmm. So if it's a very simple application management, you might need just a basic tool like this. It's very simple, but sometimes you might need a whole toolkit to manage that.
So multifaceted tools.
So whether it's this or this, whichever you are bringing to Azure, what we want to make sure is you should be able to continue to use them, the existing tool set in Azure.
So I don't have to use my hammer to put the screw into the piece of wood. I can actually use the best tool for the job.
Best tool for the job, and you don't have to do a lot of things. If you are already comfortable with your tool sets, it just seamlessly extends into Azure.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to look at.
I bought into this concept. I like this.
Okay.
I think I understand.
Yeah. So at a high level, right, this talk is about Chef and Puppet. But fundamentally, if you look at what is the core value proposition of Chef and Puppet, Chef and Puppet simplify deployment and management of infrastructure, mm-hmm. right? They automate everything. So in this talk, not only we are going to look at Chef and Puppet, we are going to look at that core fundamental value proposition of what Chef delivers, and we are going to see how you can do it with any standard script that you have. So
okay.
we'll take the concept, we'll look at it with Chef and Puppet, and we'll extend it to see how it can be done with standard tools. Right? So that is the big idea to take away from this.
Okay.
And this talk would be a mix of me going through some slides and demos. But the very important point is for every configuration management operation, there are a lot of options. There are a lot of ways you can do that. And I'll be showing all of these ways at a very high level. Okay, so what are we going to specifically learn here? Right. So we are going to, if you're new to Chef and Puppet, we would be doing an overview of what Chef and Puppet are and how you can use it to automate your infrastructure. But if you're already an existing Chef and Puppet user, we are going to show how you can take the existing tools and you can manage your Azure infrastructure.
Oh, okay.
So, take this whole tool set, extend it to Azure. And then third thing we will talk about is, what are the other VM customization options that are available, in Azure platform for both Linux and Windows workloads. What will we not cover? So we would not be covering, going very deep into Chef and Puppet. Chef and Puppet have their own domain-specific languages.
Mm-hmm.
They're very easy to learn ramp up, but there's a small ramp up there. You need to spend some time to understand the domain-specific language, DSL. We will not be getting into the depths of those. We will also not be, looking at writing cookbooks or modules. We'll not get into depths of those, how to do that. There are tons of really useful information that you could find online on these websites to learn more about that.
Mm-hmm. I remember that both Chef and Puppet have a very large community.
Absolutely,
people that support them, and there's lots and lots of resources.
Lots of tutorials, videos, lots of things to get started. Mm-hmm. And actually, they're fairly simple as well. It's just very human readable forms.
It's actually kind of interesting because it's something that a lot of Windows administrators don't know about for these individuals.
Yeah.
But they also manage Windows
environments. Exactly.
Too,
yes.
Cool.
And we'll cover that as well. And we won't get into a lot of provisioning aspects of, how do you provision infrastructure, because we had a great talk from Corey and Drew, who've gone to a great depth on how to provision this infrastructure. So mm-hmm. we will not start at that level. We'll go down a level below.
Okay.
And the other part that we won't be covering, which is very interesting to this topic, is the whole DevOps tooling. So, DevOps is like you start in your dev box, write your configuration, set up a CI server, continuous deployment. This is the other aspect of configuration management. While it's very interesting, this topic is not focused on that. But if that's a very interesting topic, if the audience can let us know, we could do a follow-up blog post or another mm-hmm. session to get into trenches of how you do CI, CD and all those things even before you start deployments.
Actually, I think that there is, I believe on December 10th, don't quote me on the dates, or December 8th, one of those two dates that are sticking in my head for some reason. One of my colleagues, David Tessar, is going to be working with Ross Gardner and others from Microsoft OpenTech talking about a lot of the DevOps tools.
Oh, fantastic.
As a live jumpstart. So go to MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com to find out more about when that's scheduled, or also just look up online here on Channel 9 to find out some stuff on the DevOps stuff. So lots of good coverage. So don't worry about the fact we're not going to be covering it here, because we're talking about the tools.
Okay, that's good to know. All right. So if you look at the whole problem space of VM customization, right, it the entire thing roughly falls into three steps. The first thing is provisioning, infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
How do you provision and manage your infrastructure? That is the first bucket. The second bucket is, now your infrastructure is up, your VMs are up. Now at this point, you need to get some agents on them. Agents who go on that VM and whose job is to sit and listen for some changes coming on.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guys that will be executing all this configuration. So the second thing is bootstrap all those agents on the VM and keep them ready. That's the second step. And the third step is, now that the infra VM is up, the agent is ready, now you deploy your configuration so the agent can go do its job, right? So this, these are the three stages of customization workflow. And you know, if we take this as a template, we would be doing this with, seeing this how we can do with any standard scripts, and how we do with Chef, and how we do with this Puppet. So these are the three areas that we would be getting into. Okay, so the next thing, before we actually get into VM customization aspect, I want to talk about VM extensions. You know, in the previous talk, Madan covered VM extensions. And the reason why we are going to talk about virtual machine extensions is extensions are the fundamental building blocks using which we have brought this whole the continuous deployment story on Azure infrastructure as a service VMs. So what VM extensions basically are is it's software provided by Microsoft or by trusted third-party providers for Azure VMs to extend the functionality of the VM. What that means is we have taken existing software that is available, you know, Chef, Puppet, or anything else, and we have actually wrapped it around to work with the Azure platform, and we've made it very, very easy to like run inside IaaS VMs. And these VM extensions have both Windows and Linux support as well. And the very nice thing about VM extensions is you can add them to a brand new VM that you're just creating now, or you could add them on a running virtual machine. So let's say you have created a virtual machine a year ago. Now today you've decided that, you know, I want to like use this new configuration management system on these VMs. So you could like, you know, without destroying that or rebuilding that, you could inject that software into a running VM.
So Madhan was kind of talking about extensions at the very end of his talk.
Yeah.
And literally, so these extensions can be on net new gallery creations, on community-driven ones, or even ones that you cook your own on your own premise, and then now move it up. And they can simply be added in and also updated as well, too.
And so now that you know that they can be added in or removed anytime, it's very important to have programmability support for automating all of this. And that is what extensions provide. So extensions, once you have these extensions available in the gallery, they can be managed using REST APIs. They can be managed using Portal. It can be managed using Azure CLI, or it can be managed using Azure PowerShell. So these are like the four common ways you could do to manage these extensions. And then the other thing that's very helpful with these extensions is they have a life cycle that's independent of the virtual machine itself. So as an example, if I put in an extension, if I compose my VM and say I want a Chef extension and I want a security extension, you know, put multiple things and you compose your VM like that. And tomorrow if there is an update for any of these, what happens is that piece, that software can update itself without rebuilding all of this. So there is this aspect of dynamic composition and independent update of this software. So this is the very fundamental building block for extensions. So I could quickly want to show how the extensions look from Azure Portal. So this is, I have created a few virtual machines here already.
So this one here, you're looking at the newer preview portal.
Yeah, this is the preview portal. All the extensions that we have today, all of them are available in Azure CLI and PowerShell. But a subset of these are available in the Azure portal. So they are making their way into the Azure portal. Very soon, we want to like make all of the existing extensions available in the portal as well. So if I go to see the list of extensions, if I go to my portal, and there is a tab called extensions, and if I click that and do add, you can see that, you know, like there are a bunch of these extensions. They provide various solutions, and the way they work is some of them are standalone. You just, you know, go click them, add it to your VM, and many of these also participate in a client server and model. That means, you know, there is a centralized server and there are clients that are managed by the server. So there is an aspect of licensing that's involved here. So the way this works is, you know, the same concept is we've done with Chef, Puppet, or any security agent is you can take your existing license, whether you purchased it, you know, whether it's a subscription-based license or either an on-prem license, you can use it. If you're using it already on-prem, you can use the same license to make it work in Azure as well.
Okay, so there is license portability.
There is license,
Each partner is different. but basically for things like Chef and Puppet, you obviously have to license the software to be able to use it and run your own master server, whatever the term is called. We control all your scripts and recipes, stuff like that. But the agents are free to install.
The agents are free to install. So, you know, once you have your subscription says you can have so many agents, you can have some of them in on-prem, some of them in Azure, and it just extends everything. So that's a very helpful thing to learn. So with that overview, jumping back to our demo. So the first thing, you know, we've talked about this template, right? The template of provision my infrastructure, bootstrap the agents, and then customize, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the template. And the first step we're going to look at it is how do you do this using standard scripts, right? The standard scripts could be anything. This could be a Ruby script or a Python script. Or if you're in Windows, you have like PowerShell script or a DSC script. Mm-hmm. You have the standard scripts that can do the configuration. How can you do that? How do we make it easy in Azure to do that? So this is where the custom script extension comes into picture. Mm-hmm. We have something called custom script extension for Windows and for Linux as well. And basically, the workflow is you author your scripts, and then you put it in Linux. For if it's a Linux extension, if you're on Linux, put it under source control in GitHub. And then from that GitHub, you actually, when you want to like it ready to deploy, you create a remote VM, and you tell the remote VM that to go to this GitHub location, download the scripts, and do the configuration.
Oh, okay. So this is, again, as you mentioned, this is general purpose. This is separate from anything we've talked about so far as far as Chef and Puppet's concerned.
Yeah.
Just any scripting language that you're comfortable working with, that's like your multi-purpose tool that you happen to have there.
Yeah.
If you've already got the scripts that does a whole bunch of stuff on PHP, you can simply put them inside GitHub, have the machine come and talk to it, and then when it's published or updated, it just goes off and runs.
Yes.
Okay, that's sweet.
Yeah, you don't have to log in onto the VM at all to do this, right?
Great.
Windows version of this supports only storage. You know, you have to put the scripts in Azure storage, but the Linux version supports both putting in. You can point it to GitHub location. We're hoping to build that soon in the Windows version as well.
Oh, okay.
All right. So let's do a quick demo of custom script extension. So so Madan briefly talked about the Azure CLI as well. So what that is Azure CLI is a node.js environment. Mm-hmm. You can go to azure.com and download the CLI. And once you're in the CLI, pretty much you can it's a wrapper around the REST APIs. So you can manage your infrastructure. So the way this works is, so I have already run a bunch of commands here. So basically the first thing if you want to get started is you need to, after you download your Azure CLI, you need to give your Azure credentials to this. So I have let me quickly go through this command. So if you haven't installed them before, install node.js from this location. Mm-hmm. My laptop is already set up with all these things, and run this command to install the Azure CLI. So the next thing we have to do is do Azure login. So here's where you're telling the CLI what your credentials are for doing the service management operations. Mm-hmm. Right, so hopefully this will prompt me to enter the username. Okay, oops, that was too quick. So, these are my standard credentials that I'm going to use to manage my VM. Okay. Oops, wrong password. So while this is going on, so let me briefly explain what the script is. So I have written a script that is going to install Apache Server on a Linux VM.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me try one more time. I just changed my password, so it's hard to remember. Okay, I don't know why it's not lying, but I'll demo this from the portal as well. We can do this from portal as well.
Yeah.
So what happens is I have written a script here. The script basically is a very simple script of installing Apache Server, and I have uploaded that script to my GitHub to a storage location. Mm-hmm. So you know, super basic script, right? Install Apache. And what I have done is I have, if I was doing it from PowerShell in my node.js demo, I would have like, you know, I had to write a little JSON file like this, which is telling basically where my script is and what my, how do I run this script. So basically, if it's a Ruby script, I say, hey, it's a Ruby script, run it with the Ruby commandlets. So in my UI demo, because I'm going to do a quick UI demo for this, so I'm going to cancel all of this and pick a Linux VM. So I pick one of my Linux VMs, and on this Linux VM, I can go browse to the VM extensions. There you go.
There we go, yeah.
This already has Chef installed, but I want to show how you can run custom script as well. So go here, and then here's the custom script extension for Linux. So add
I like
this.
How it goes in and obviously filters what's available.
Exactly.
So you
don't
try to install some kind of the antivirus software on Linux box that's designed for Windows.
Yeah. So all that I need to do is I need to pick my script. So okay, let's go and pick my script. So in this case, because I'm running from my local machine, I have my script that on my VM. I'm going to point my script extension to use my local script. Mm-hmm. And this behind the scenes, Portal UI is actually going to upload it to storage location.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to tell the script extension on my VM to run it. So basically, you know, point my script and then just say create. So at this point, this is going to go and install the extension, and it configures Apache from that,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's a very simple thing, but the power of that is you can actually put anything there. If you want to like run Ruby's, you know, some Ruby, if your setup requires like installing Ruby and installing some Ruby gems, I could say, you know, apt-get Ruby or Ruby gem, and then I could like gem install all the Ruby components on my VM. All of this can be put in the script. You can put anything you want in the script. It's really powerful.
And as you mentioned at the very beginning of all this, the fact that you have it all in a scripted environment and the scripts are now standardized, there's no chance for human error to go off and you have to deploy 15 of these web servers in this custom script environment at this point.
Yes, absolutely. And then you put it under source control, so it's always, you know, you can always go back to the previous version, mm-hmm. whatever is working, whatever is not working.
You shouldn't just keep these all like notepad files and just like put them on a USB stick and pass them around the office? What?
Yeah. Okay, so that was the custom script extension. If we have time, I'll go back to see what the password issue is and get that node.js demo up as well. All right, so the next thing is, the custom script capable, right? It's like a very simple tool, super simple, basic, but yet very powerful. Many of our Azure customers actually have done very complicated deployments using this script thing, and it can be tweaked to do anything. So the next thing with that, so now we've covered like, you know, how do you bring your standard scripts and you can run on Azure, right? So at this point, let's jump into Chef, a more sophisticated tool. And while a simple tool like a script can do it, it cannot do many things, right? It cannot automatically manage the drift. It cannot automatically detect changes in the scripts and push a configuration there, right? So this is where tools like Chef and Puppet come into picture.
Okay.
So what is Chef, right? So let's a brief introduction of Chef for someone who is not familiar with this. And there are also a few concepts of Chef, terminologies that we should be aware of, because I'll keep referring to them and it gets very confusing if you don't do this introduction. So Chef is basically a configuration management tool for deploying and managing infrastructure and applications. And the way it works is, the very fundamental concept of Chef is with Chef, infrastructure is code, and everything that you manage on your VM is a resource, and there is a programmable interface to this resource. And then once you begin to interface with the resources, everything on all the configuration on the virtual machine is policy based. So you define policies for each node and you specify what is the desired state, and Chef is responsible for configuring the VM. Let's look at the three important components. When you talk about Chef, these are the three things that need to be aware of. So the key things are, so Chef Okay, let's go to, yeah. So the chef, there are three aspects of chef. One is how do you manage your VMs using knife. So what that means is with chef there are, you have to set up your chef server, and there is a chef workstation, and then there is a remote chef node. Mm-hmm. Right, so there are three aspects that come into picture. So first thing is the chef server. Chef server is either you can set up your own chef server, or you can get a hosted chef server. So what that means is a hosted chef is it's running. You don't have to set up the chef's infrastructure. You can sign up for that, and they'll give you like a term called organization, and you can have your all your nodes inside that organization. One organization cannot see other organization.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you have that, and the next thing is so that's what for someone who's new and he wants to get started on Chef, the recommended thing is to go to sign up for a free trial version of Chef.
Mm-hmm.
You can manage up to five nodes. It'll give you a feel of like what Chef server is and things that you could do with it. Then the next thing that's on important for Chef is the workstation. So this is my dev machine. So this is my dev machine where I'm going to write my cookbooks for managing my chef resources. So I write my cookbooks, and there are certain tools that come for managing that, writing those tools. So
mm-hmm.
I set up my dev machine. And the third thing is setting up the remote nodes, which are managed by Chef. And these nodes, can be in on-prem or in cloud. And what we have done for Azure is we have actually taken this piece of setting up a Chef node, and we have really, really simplified that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I could do is one click, I can provision all these nodes, and I can make them all talk to my Chef server. Right. So in the next demo, we are going to look at a few things here. So again, we go back to our original template that we defined. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the workflow is manage my infrastructure, bootstrap the agents on the VM, and then customize the VM. So if you take these three pieces, I want to show how in Azure we have added integration hooks for each of these pieces to make it simple.
Okay.
So the first thing that's very important is. So let me show a quick demo of going Chef portal. So this is my Chef server. So if you go to chef.com, you can sign up for a Chef server account, a free trial account, and this gives you an idea of what the centralized server looks like. So this is I have previously configured a few nodes. It's already running there. These are all running in Azure. And this something is called, you can create various organizations.
Mm-hmm.
One organization cannot see another one. So I have my organization here. And one thing that, you need to do is once you go to an organization, the first thing that's going to be very helpful to do is downloading a starter kit. So pick an organization. This is the organization that I'm going to be using for this demo. There is something called Starter Kit.
Mm-hmm.
So sign up a Chef account, go to the Chef portal, and for the organization, download the Starter Kit. What the Starter Kit will have is it has all the information to connect to the server.
Okay.
The Starter Kit is actually going to help in doing all our demos. So that's the first step. I have already downloaded my starter script to this location. And it's a zip file, I've unpacked that. The next thing that needs to be done is actually installing the workstation pieces on my laptop. So that's the second piece, and that's very important to get ourselves to the next step of configuring VMs. So here, what I would do is go to chef.com and download the workstation piece. So once that is up and running, now at this point you have your Chef toolkit running on your laptop. Your goal is to manage infrastructure in Azure virtual machines. So what you need to tell the Chef workstation piece is what is your subscription information, Azure subscription information.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go and provision VMs. So the way you do it is when you downloaded that starter kit and unzipped it creates a file called knife.rb. And this is a standard file. It's need to go to this file and add this additional entry and define what your published setting files are. So published setting files is a way of is used for connecting to your account, Azure account. So this has my subscription information. This has my certificate thumbprint, etc. So I'm telling Knife, like, you know, hey, use these credentials to manage my virtual machines in Azure.
Okay. Yeah, I think I remember that was something that Matt Han talked about, as simply with the CLI tools as well. Have to make sure you have your subscription info file to be able to do it.
Yes. So once I have downloaded this, now at this point, my my laptop, my dev machine is now ready to manage Chef. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I want to do is provision the infrastructure. So as you can see, once I have everything up and running, I can actually run it in PowerShell window. So I'm going to run this command called Knife Azure Image Lift. So Knife is the command line interface tool that is going to be running on your dev your dev box, and it is going to do multiple things. It is going to provision infrastructure. It is going to talk to Chef server. So this is the primary interface. And what the Chef team has done is the Chef team has provided hooks into this Knife to connect to Azure.
Okay.
So, you know, basically, for example, I'm running this command called Knife Azure Image List. And this is going to, like, you know, bring all the images that are there in public gallery. So then I can use one of these images to create a VM in Azure. So if I run this this command.
Hit Control Z, because I think you just overwrote some of your script above there.
Oh, I did something?
Your command, there it is there.
Okay, so the command exit. There you go. Thank you.
No problem.
So there you go. So what it gave me is, you know, it gave me all the nodes that are available. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I want to do is, using this Knife, I want to provision a virtual machine in Azure. This is like a vanilla virtual machine. It has no Chef components, nothing. This is a Linux VM that I'm going to provision using SSH username and password. So I'm going to just run it. It will take a couple of minutes.
It's like a standard provision of a machine, which can take anywhere from 3 minutes to 10
minutes
or whatever.
Yeah, and this is because it's just a vanilla VM. It doesn't have any bootstrapped agents. It's going to take a couple of minutes. Okay. This is running at the moment. So what we have shown at this point is, you know, we have installed Knife, we have made Knife talk to Azure, and then we are now at this point creating virtual machines, managing infrastructure in Azure using Knife, right? So that is the first step of how do I manage infrastructure, right? So you have your own toolbox. Now Knife is your tool. You're not like coming to other tools like Azure CLI or Azure PowerShell. You're still continuing to use your existing tools, and you're managing Azure.
So actually, I was working with a customer not too long ago that had been working a large project where they've got a massive multi-tier application that's run on Linux on premises.
Yeah.
And they're actually looking at simply using their Chef components, like you're showing us here, for the different commands that the Knife would be using, and also, I guess it's a recipe book is the proper term for it.
Yeah, cookbook.
And they're basically just tweaking it, and then they're going to be able to deploy that on the Azure side of things, because it's simply choosing different sources of their nodes. Is that's kind of the
that's
whole concept?
That's the whole concept, right? So it's just the idea. It's like, you know, don't change anything. If I'm already comfortable using something, I would like to use the same thing, right? Okay. That's the idea we want to like do. And that's what Chef team has provided this. So that's a part about like the first thing, right? So we have created infrastructure. Now the next thing that we want to see is how do we bootstrap the agent with this, bootstrap my VM with Chef agent. So it's ready to go when a configuration comes. And this is where we have worked with Chef team to provide some integration pieces.
So not just to actually having the extension available inside the machine, but actually how you can have that extension configured when you need to provision the machine to point to the Chef server to get instructions?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. So, you
I'm
know.
Following. I got it.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I might ask some pop quiz questions here.
don't test me on this.
All right. So what we're going to do is, Chef, so how you without all of this integration, you could still go create Azure VM using Knife commands. You can do it, you know, on a put the Chef agents on different VMs, but we want to like automate all of this, or we want to make it very, very easy how to do it, right? So for this demo, what I'm going to do is I will go to my Azure portal. I've got so many windows open here. Okay, where is my IE? Oh, there you go. Okay, so I have gone to my new Azure portal here, and let's look at a bare minimal Linux machine, mm-hmm. which has nothing on it. Okay, so this is a brand new VM that I created just before walking into this room. This VM, I am going to add. I'm going to tell this VM to install Chef Agent on this. So the way I'm going to do this is by using the Chef extension.
And obviously, so, you could be doing this from the CLI. You could be doing this from PowerShell.
And from Knife as well.
And from Knife as well.
Yeah, and I will show that.
You're just showing this through this portal because it's the tool that we can see right now.
Yes, yes. Okay. So what? So a couple of things that need to be done is when you're doing from Azure portal, just like we told Knife what your Azure information is, right? When we're using Knife, we had to tell Knife, here's my Azure subscription. Mm-hmm. And the other way now, when we're using a portal, we need to tell portal what my Chef subscription is.
Oh, okay.
All right? So that is the one thing we need to do. And it's all of this information is already available when we downloaded the
Starter kit.
Okay. Yes, that's already there. So what we need to do is create a file called client.rb. In that, you know, I'm going to add this chef's URL. Basically, this is my chef server URL, and this is my organization, and this is my validation key. So basically, there is this my URL, and the chef server needs to validate this client. It needs to say, oh, this is a client. This is a valid client with a valid subscription. Mm-hmm. So there is this. The starter kit gave me a validator key. And I'm going to give that key information and tell Chef Server to use that key information to validate me. So what I have done is created a file called client.rb. And in that file is what I am going to provide as input here. Okay, let's quickly jump into my Chef folder here. So client.rb, and the other thing that I'm going to add is my validation key. So I need to give my organization validator key to Chef and say, hey, use these two information. And when the node, so what happens is at this point, using the extension technology, we are going to inject the Chef agent on that virtual machine.
Okay.
And then we are going to provide this information to validate it to the Chef client. And the Chef client is going to take that information and it is going to talk to the Chef server to validate itself. And when it is validated, you know, then they have a connection established between them. At that point, I can write recipes and I can publish it to Chef server, and then I can push them onto my Chef client. So I have created this, just hit create. It's very straightforward. In a couple of minutes, this is spinning right now. In a couple of minutes, Chef extension will be installed on the virtual machine. So while the UI part, you know, the demo is very, very helpful, this has been simplified significantly by using the, okay, so, the steps that we have seen to manage to provision bootstrap a Chef client on a VM can be automated, and there are two ways to automate this. One is by using a commandlet. If PowerShell commandlets is the choice of your tool, then you can use Azure PowerShell commandlets. You know, you can download it from azure.com and use this commandlet called set Azure VM Chef extension, and basically in this commandlet, you need to provide the validation key, the organization validator key, and the client RB file that we've created, and any specific run list that you have authored to run it on the VM. The other very simple way that you can do it is by using Knife command. If you're already a Chef user, then Knife is your preferred environment of choice. And the Chef team has recently provided this Knife command, which is still in preview version. Using Knife command, I can bootstrap my Chef agent. So here's what I'm doing. So previously we have used Knife to create a VM in mm-hmm. Azure. Now, you know, what you could do is you could say, hey, use Knife, but inject the Chef agent. Everything else the same. So this highlighted part is the new thing. Actually, this is a brand new feature. It is still in preview mode. A Chef team has, you know, just rolled it out, and they would be announcing it more broadly soon. So what I can do by running this command is, this command is exactly the same as what we have done in the UI.
Oh, okay.
So the whole process. So because we are doing it from Knife, we don't have to like tell Knife what the chef server information is. It
right.
already knows.
Right.
So I'm not using my RB client, RB files, nothing. It already knows that information.
Okay.
All that I do is provide my virtual machine information. So this, okay, so with these steps now, you know, following these steps, you are actually ready to manage resources on Azure. So there is a question there actually. So the question is, what is the difference between Chef and Knife? So Chef is actually, Knife is one of the tools in Chef. You know, Chef is a configuration management system which has many components. One component, you know, the client-side component is called the Knife. Using Knife is what you interface to manage, create resources, you author cookbooks. And Chef has other pieces like Chef server, Chef nodes, all of these together, you know, form the Chef system. And Knife is just one aspect of that. And I hope that helps.
Mm-hmm. There, just in case you're curious, there's another question that actually came up here about, are we restricted to using Host Chef, or can we run it standalone as well?
Yeah, you can use it standalone as well. So basically, in the standalone mode, what happens is you are not, there's no server.
Mm-hmm.
The agents are not talking to the server. They're all working independently. Chef already provides that when you use a Knife commandlet, you can specify that, hey, I want to use in this Chef solo mode. I'm not mm-hmm. talking to any server.
Okay.
That is there as well, but that can be done using the Knife command we've seen. It is not there in our Azure portal. The Azure
mm-hmm.
portal has been designed to like, right now we have this client server system
yeah.
because mostly when you're targeting workload, centralized management is preferred. But you can definitely use a solo mode using on Azure as well.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So with that, you know, I would also encourage to visit this the last website called Chef IO Partners at Microsoft, where Chef team has provided all the information that you need to use to create VMs in Azure to manage them. There's one piece that okay. All right. So there's one piece that I want to briefly touch upon. I don't want to go into the demo part aspect of this. The other is, so one of the things is a lot of IT admins manage both Windows and Linux VMs.
Mm-hmm.
And for Windows, it's traditionally using PowerShell and DSC. So what Chef has done is, if you're already, you know, you're a familiar DSC user and you manage your VMs using DSC, Chef has actually wrapped these DSC commandlets. What that means is I can write a recipe. In that recipe, I can specify DSC resources. And then on the VM, and it looks like a Chef resource, but internally I'm using my DSC resources.
Mm-hmm.
So when I publish my cookbooks in the same way as I do any other cookbook, on the VM, Chef understands that, hey, you know, this is actually a DSC resource, not a Chef resource. And internally it does some translation and it hands it off to the DSC engine to perform the job. So the big advantage is a DSC team, you know, has resources to manage a lot of components, and these lot of new resources keep coming. So, you know, instead of like rewriting all of this in Chef, you could actually, you know, continue to use those DSC resources even if you're using Chef. So
mm-hmm.
with Chef now, you could use both the Chef resources and DSC resources.
Okay.
So this integration, it's been announced a few months ago, and it's in the preview mode at this point, and you can actually download the DSC cookbook from that location.
Okay.
So if you're a DSC user, you know, you could give it a try. Okay, so the third tool we're going to talk about is Puppet, right? So Puppet is actually also, you know, conceptually very similar to what we've seen with Chef. You know, it's also a configure management system that allows you to like define the state of your infrastructure in a very declarative language, and then it enforces the correct state on an ongoing basis. And the key concepts are very similar. You know, it supports easy to read declarative language. It enforces desired state. So I can define my resources. I can specify the resources or packages to be installed, services to be configured, files to be copied, right? These are the resources. And you can specify a desired state. You can say, hey, you know, every time my VM comes up, this service needs to be in started state. Mm-hmm. Or every time my VM comes up, I need this pack, this file to be present in this location, right? So you can define define such actions and Puppet in a similar way actually, you know, make sure that when the VM comes up, it's always in that desired state. If it drifts away, it's very, you know, it tries to correct that behavior and bring it back to that state.
Okay.
Right? And then once you start with Puppet, just like with Chef, we've seen using recipes and cookbooks, with Puppet, we create you something called modules for managing your resources. And there are a lot to get started. There are a lot of community provided modules in what's called Puppet Forge. So if you go to Puppet Forge, you would see all these modules that you can use for managing the resources. A few concepts for Puppet, like, you know, before we dive into the demo of Puppet, there are a few terminologies that would help us to understand. One is something called a manifest. Basically, manifest is the code that you would write in Puppet DSL, which defines like all the resources that you are managing. And resource is actually the unit of configuration, whether resource is a file, resource is a service. This is a single unit of configuration that is managed by Puppet. And then we have something called modules, which is a collection of classes and resource types. Modules are where, you know, when you author your resource configuration, you make it a module and you publish in Puppet Forge so other users can actually reuse those modules. And then finally, we have something called catalogs. You know, different terms, but they all do the same thing. If you look at, like, you know, Chef and Pub, between these two, the catalog is where basically you describe, hey, when my VM comes up, it has to be in this desired state. So these are the terminologies, Puppet specific terminologies for managing resources.
Okay.
So. At this point, we'll again go back to our original workflow of three steps, right? How do I create my infrastructure? How do my bootstrap agents? How do I customize VMs? So all of these three things also can be done by using Puppet tools, and we'll briefly talk about those things. So the first thing is how do I manage my infrastructure using Puppet tools? So that means I'm a Puppet user. I'm already using Puppet tools to create infrastructure. At this point, I would like to continue to use the same tools to manage Puppet. And this was also, it's also possible using something called the Puppet module. So if I go to Puppet Forge, there is a module which our MS OpenTech team has published. Mm-hmm. This module actually will be used for managing Azure resources. So I can download that Puppet module. So this is the command to download the Puppet module from Forge. And then I can create a VM by using Puppet toolsets. You know, basically, this is a very standard command. It is not doing any bootstrapping work. All that is doing is creating a virtual machine in Azure using Puppet. So that was the first part about how do you provision my bare board infrastructure. So the next thing that's very interesting is you can, using standard tools, you can create infrastructure. But we know that's not so interesting. Right? What we want is we want to set up a Puppet master, and we want to set up some clients that can talk to Puppet master. So what we have done by working with Puppet team is Puppet Labs team is to really simplify this deployment. There are a couple of things we have done for this. So one is setting up Puppet master. With Puppet, you need to set up both the server aspect and the client aspect. So the first thing is setting up a Puppet server. So in Azure Gallery, we have a Puppet team has published a Puppet master image. You could go download and set up your VM. There are a couple of things that you need to configure to make sure your Puppet master is ready. And we have actually really simplified that here for Azure users. So there is a trial version that I can, here, it's an image. All that is going to do is it's going to set up my Puppet master. So it's very standard. I can specify one key thing to do this, a very important thing is this has to be lowercase. Mm-hmm. Actually, if you set up, if there is an uppercase, it somewhere silently fails and troubleshooting takes long. So, you know.
It's so good tip to remember for the public.
Good tip
server.
To remember, exactly, yeah. So, I am going to all use lowercase, Puppet Master 2. And this is a Linux. So Puppet Master is only supported only on Linux servers. Mm-hmm. Clients can be both Windows and Linux.
Oh, okay.
The master is always Linux.
Good to know.
Okay, so I'm going to use like a standard username, a strong password it needs.
And obviously, if you're more comfortable with it, you could have gone this SSH key and other options as
do
opposed
that,
to going
user
and password. Username,
exactly.
It's much simpler for demos to go user
password. Yes. And this also can be done from Azure CLI as
right,
well.
Right. Okay.
So when you come here, basically this is going to spin up a Puppet Master. There are a few endpoints that need to be added. Mm-hmm. I'm going to like quickly show what those endpoints are. So you need to add these for Puppet Master to like accept incoming requests from clients. It's important to like add these three endpoints, define
okay.
this 443.8.140.6.163 endpoints on this. So once I set it up, and then I hit OK. At this point, it's going to take a few minutes, and the Puppet Master is going to come up. Mm-hmm. Once the server is up, it takes about like 10 minutes for it to like do all its internal things to have the Puppet Master up, ready to serve the clients.
Okay, so kind of buffer it with, you know, if it takes about 5 to 10 minutes for our machines to provision, it's
yeah.
going to take another 5 to 10 minutes for the Puppet side to finish.
Right.
And I saw that the command on your slide was actually you configured through an HTTPS.
Yeah,
websites. To be able
yes.
to do it. Okay.
So right. So this now, when my VM is up, you know, this is the Puppet Master that I previously provisioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I could actually use HTTPS to browse to my Puppet Master.
Yeah.
Right.
This
is my Puppet.
The URL that was in the.
Yeah.
That was in the slide deck.
Yes. So here, you know, so at this point, I can, you know, so the Puppet Master is ready. I need to log back in. So, so now the Puppet Master is ready. The next thing is setting up the clients to talk mm-hmm. to Puppet Master. So for this, what you could do is, again, it's all in Azure. It can be done from portal. It can be done from CLIs as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a bare vanilla VM that I've created. It's a Windows VM I've created for this one. So here I am going to add the Puppet extension. So here's the Puppet extension. There you go. This is the Puppet agent. So the previous screenshot was setting up the Puppet Master.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, this is Puppet Client. So here, all that it needs is the Puppet Master URL.
And it's the fully qualified.
The fully qualified domain name.
Of the
yeah. So.
Oh, and because you have those endpoints open.
Yeah.
It would be able to communicate with it.
It would be able
oh,
to
okay.
communicate. So it's actually it's setting up Puppet Master and client has been really really simplified
mm-hmm.
here, right? So it just takes like a parameter here. So once I do that, what's going to do is it's going to create, you know, the virtual machine is already running. I'm injecting Puppet agent into
oh,
this,
okay.
right? So it'll take it a couple of minutes, and then when I go to my Puppet console, this agent shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Now this agent is ready to be managed, and Puppet can like manage up to 55,000 VMs from one console. Like
mm-hmm.
I can create that many. I can automate creation of all of this using CLI or PowerShell.
You just said 55,000?
No, 5,000.
Oh, 5,000.
yeah. Okay, so that is the Puppet, you know, how to set up Puppet
okay.
agent. So here actually.
It seems like it follows a very standard kind of, you know, as you mentioned, you already have the main central management
yeah.
node
yeah.
up and running,
yeah.
either in Chef or in Puppet.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of simply, let's get the extension in place, give
yes.
it the extra configuration bits required
yeah.
to find that guy,
yeah. Yeah.
and then everything that's already been done
yeah.
just
yeah.
applies.
Applies, yes.
yeah. This is
yeah.
awesome.
yep, it's really simplifies all of
yep.
this. So, yeah, this is, you know, if for someone who wants to refer to the deck later, I just put the steps for setting up the Puppet
good.
Agent as well.
Good.
And the PowerShell way for doing it. So, yeah, at this point, now your Puppet toolkit
mm-hmm.
is ready to be used in Azure, right? And here are like a bunch of other resources that you could use. This Getting Started guide from Puppet for Azure is actually very, very helpful. And finally, we talked about using DSA resources with Chef, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing is available with Puppet as well. So if I'm a DSA user and I want to use my DSA resources from Puppet, right? So there is a community module in Forge. This is the URL for that. Mm-hmm. You could download that module, and that module would actually enable you to use DSC resources on Puppet.
Okay.
So pretty much, I think that's the end of our talk. Finally, what I would like to we've seen a few tools, right? We've seen standard native tools. We've seen third-party tools. If there are any other tools that our Azure users use for their infrastructure management and they would like it to be integrated this mm-hmm. way with Azure, please let us know so we can actually pick up those pieces and integrate them with Azure.
Great. And again, there's one of those options you can go off and provide some of this feedback is simply on feedback.azure.com. And then specifically, I don't know if you want to under the virtual machines area for user voice.
Yes, user voice. Yes.
Thanks for reminding. That is the place mm-hmm. to go.
Yep.
But again, the cool thing is, and use this guy here as an example from a toolkit perspective, it literally can be anything because we started this whole conversation with custom scripts.
Yeah.
And those custom scripts could be anything. Could be Python, could be Ruby, could be PHP.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it happens to be.
Yeah.
It's all simply available to be used. Or you can go off and use some of the existing tool sets you might be familiar with the Puppet side of things or with the Chef side of things.
Yes.
And then also mix and match with Linux and with Windows.
Yes.
With the DSC side.
Absolutely.
This is wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild.
And there is a question. It says the Puppet extension. Yes. The Puppet extension is published by the Puppet Labs team. Mm-hmm. It is a wrapper to the existing Puppet agent that's available, but it's been published in Azure.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, we have our next guest chomping at the bit to be able to get in here, to be able to talk to you a little bit about this concept of Docker and containerization.
Awesome.
But I got to say, Kundana, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I had a lot of fun and I learned a lot of stuff too
awesome.
About these awesome capabilities to be able to do this. So we'll be back after the break to talk a little bit about Docker, containerization technologies, and some other goodness too.
Thank you so much.